beginning at verse 18, and it's on page 1004. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old and make the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Do you remain seated and we'll have our second reading from Sandra.
The second reading is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, reading verses 5 to 8, and can be found on page 777 in the Old Testament. This is what the Lord says: "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It is actually, it's a little bit of a shock to me that it's nearly a year since I began my time here at St. Michael's. I don't know if you've realised how quickly that's gone. I think it's fair to say that it's gone more quickly than any other moment in my life. It's just been so full and so new in lots of ways that I think just it's gone so quickly because my brain hasn't had the space to sort of keep up with the actual time as it's gone. But before I go on to talk about the year as it has gone by, from my perspective, and with an eye to the future year ahead, I want to, of course, begin by saying a sort of all-encompassing, so everyone needs to hear at this, an all-encompassing thank you to you all. It's not overstating the case in churches anyway, and in this church in particular, to say that St. Michael's simply would not exist and be the place that it is without us all working together and sharing that responsibility of being God's people in this place, furthering God's mission and building God's kingdom. Now, we are, of course, called to do nothing less than this. And church is, as I often say, a community event. The point is that we are all to pitch in together, and it's not something that simply the few do to the many. But we all need, as human creatures of God, to hear almost ringing in our ears those words of God, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We want to know that we have done well, that we're fulfilling God's purpose for us. And so we need to be those who say to each other, as we walk this way of God together, we need to be saying that to each other. When we see a good thing being done, a God thing being done, we need to be those who are being used by God to say to one another, well done, good and faithful servant. So that's the first thing that I want you to hear this morning. You are known and you are seen, because I know there's lots of things that go on in the background, which many people don't see, but you are seen. Often you're seen by me doing things quietly, but always you're seen by God doing the things that you do. Whatever you do for God, whatever that is not wasted, ever. Well done, good and faithful servants. Our readings today encompass something of what I want to say as we reflect on this past year and look ahead. And as I look back, and I only began the journey of this, the calendar year that we're looking at, in April, but I'm very aware that it's important to notice the transitions that have happened over the past year and before that. As a community, St. Michael's has had to grapple with the leaving of Guy in 2013, and then Ben in 2014. And often in a vacancy, there isn't enough space or time to be able to process the loss that's happened. And the time for processing that often comes when the crisis of vacancy is over and we've got space to think. So it has been perfectly natural and normal for some of us, for some of this past year, to have been feeling more keenly that loss of the old and the discomfort of the new. And I think this, of course, has been compounded by the fact that this has been a year of facing some very new things. Not simply a new vicar, but a whole new church is on the horizon. And although we know that more now with our news of the past few weeks, that has been part of what we have been living with as a community. It's been in the air, as it were, over the past year. And this all makes for a time of real change and uncertainty. It has been a moment, I think it's fair to say, and it will continue to be a moment of wondering to ourselves, what have we let ourselves in for? There will be a natural reserve and caution. And we will have questions. And you have had questions. And some of those questions, maybe you haven't dared to say out loud. So I wanted this morning to give a little bit of voice to some of that heart stuff which we might be feeling, have been feeling over the past year, particularly with respect to the new way of church that we're going to have to engage with in the year to come. We might be thinking, do we really want what we said we wanted when the building project was begun all those years ago, when the project was named Open Doors? Do we want our doors to be opened unequivocally to all and sundry? We might be thinking, will I belong in this community when it all changes. I'm worried I won't fit. We might be thinking, there are new people who I don't know. I used to know everyone. If people don't know me because they're new and they don't know I've been here for years, what does that mean to my identity as a member of St. Michael's? Will I still matter? You might just be thinking, it's not the same. We might be thinking, my memories of people in this place are precious. Will they be lost when the space is different? I think it's just important to hold some of those things and recognize that they are there and they are valid, and we need to feel them together with each other. It's always dangerous when you have an idea in your head about what you will and will not do with God. And I can tell you that I always said I would never come to a church that was embarking on a building project. To come as a new thing and then to bring a new thing in is a little bit of a double whammy, is it not? And the psychology of change and the emotional impact is important to note, and it's not small. So I know that. I do know that. But hopefully it gives you some comfort to hear that it's nothing new. When Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees in that reading from Mark, he was dealing with hundreds of years of tradition. In many ways, good traditions, ways of honoring and following God, which had been real and valid. And God had been part of all of that, part of those traditions. So Jesus was dealing with hundreds of years of the way things had been. And he was talking about bringing in an entirely new kingdom, not just one or two tweaks or changes. Not even just a new building, but something so entirely new that it simply could not be poured into the old system. The whole thing must be new. But what is interesting for us this morning is that Jesus was not saying, just get rid of the old, bring in the new. It was much more complicated than that. There was an understanding that the old wine and wineskins will for a time sit alongside the new wine and the new wineskins. And in scripture, this kind of both and is a very common thing to find. It's the constant paradox of both the continuity and the discontinuity between what was and what is to be. So we find that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and not the abolisher of it. There is continuity. And yet we're told we are under grace and not the law. And so there is discontinuity. We are called to remember our first home in the Garden of Eden, that we have continuity with who we were made to be in God. But we are asked to make our journey as human beings towards our last home in the New Jerusalem, where we will have new bodies and we will be transformed. The one is inextricably linked with the other. The one calls us inevitably into the other. In order to be faithful to the old, we must move into the new. That is what the old is for. The old is to birth the new, and the new is to give honour and purpose to the old. So over the last year, we've begun to see some of this in action, even before we have a new church building, and it has been important to do that, to begin to ferment that new wine alongside the vintage. So I'm just going to mention a few of those things to you now. We've moved to having a new format at our all-age worship service. And we've already seen some of the fruit of that, in that it has helped to better integrate our children and families together in that style of worship. This is a visible outworking of what we say when we say we want a church where younger people and families with babies and young children, we want them to be here, we want them to be welcome here. That's what that looks like. We have to change how we are together in order to do that. But we continue to have our traditional format, as we are this morning, for the majority of our services. And so there's an example of both and together. And I do encourage you to attend both of those services, to remember the old and to move into the new. You will inevitably prefer different flavours. But in being with each other, we will grow together as the people of God. And we will grow in our own relationship with God as well when we open ourselves to each other, even though others are different to us, like a different type of worship, enjoy church in a different way. When we open ourselves to one another and step out of our own comfort zone, then we find that in the face of the other, we see something of God that we could not see if we just keep ourselves in our own zone. We've also begun to use this church space in a much wider way than it has been used before, although there have been bits and pieces of that in the past. So things like our outreach parties, which would traditionally have been done in the hall, so pancake party, that type of thing, has been moved into this church space. This is a sign, of course, of a time when we're not going to have that hall, and that time is coming pretty soon. But there's also a more important point in that. Our church worship space should be the place where we invite people in to experience, perhaps only in a small way, but a very real way, that hospitality of God. The place where we invite those who often are the outsiders, or who are certainly those who wouldn't naturally come into church. The place that we invite them into is an important message about the welcome of God. And people know that this space is important to us. They know that. And so to invite people into here has a particular significance. We've continued, as I said, and increased the use of this space during the week. We've seen tea in the afternoon on a Tuesday flourish over the year. Am I right that it was November 2013 that it began? So we've had a full year and more of tea in the afternoon in this space, and it's grown, and it includes many who simply wouldn't come to church on a Sunday. We meet in this church space regularly to pray and to invite other groups in, such as Churches Together, or our deanery colleagues. And we've also excitingly seen the very beginning, and I feel okay putting this in as a reflection of our last year, because when Jane Price came and talked to me about the English conversation classes, that was in the autumn of last year, and we're just coming to see the fruition of that at the beginning of this year. So that's happening here every Wednesday morning. And if you come, and people have come and sort of said, wow, it sounds, you know, a real buzz. There's a real buzz going on as many people from different faiths and backgrounds come and enjoy something which is going to help them flourish. And that's the hospitality of God. Because otherwise people get very lonely if they can't speak English and they spend lots of time on their own. We have seen the opening of the doors quite literally on most days during the week at some point during that day, not just on a Sunday. So we did the job of clearing that space in the north porch where the door was blocked because it had become a storage space. And so there's something really, psychological about opening up the entrance ways to the church, that's important and real. Having our doors open shows us to be, you know, visually to those who pass from the outside, that we are a church that is active and alive. And people do pass our doors each day. And I think the impact of having them open on the mindset of the local community cannot be underestimated. We've seen people just wander in because the doors are open. They wouldn't knock on the door and ask to come and have a look, but because the doors are open, they've come in and been welcomed. And so all those things are happening. And they're happening alongside the work and fellowship together that we at St. Michael's and you before me have enjoyed over many years. But there will inevitably be some fears as we move into this new season of life at St. Michael's. How do we make sure that we're moving forward in God's purpose for us? I think our text from Jeremiah says it well. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. Whatever we do here at St. Michael's, whatever we do, whatever our future is to actually look like, and we're not going to know the exact, you know, detail of that. It's a real moment of trust. But whatever we do, we must be those whose trust is in God. That's all that matters. To be those whose roots are dug down deep into God and to find that God is the source and nourishment of all that we are as a community together. All the other stuff will sort of pale into insignificance in the face of that. You know, and all the stuff about, you know, whether we get frustrated because there's a, you know, table where it wasn't before, or, you know, there's various bits being stored in nooks and crannies around this church, which will happen, which might frustrate. All those things will just melt away in the face of being those who are dug down deep into knowing God. None of what we do here will mean anything, old or new, if it is not given over to God and entirely for God's glory alone. But if we are those who are trusting in God, focused on God, and who endeavour and commit ourselves to be those who are deeply rooted in God and to continue our own journey with God, then we will be those who are like a well-watered plant, and we will then have that access to that living water, unending. And we will be filled to overspilling as a people in this place. And when it's overspilling, it means that we can be those who offer that water of life to others. And that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. New buildings, old ways, new ways, new wine, old wine. That is what we're here for. So we look forward to this year ahead, and we give thanks for the year that has gone. And let us all be together, those who are working alongside each other and who are committed to being those who dig down deep into that earth and have access to that living water ourselves. Amen.